Consequence Podcast Network.
Borahe, Iconic Army.
Borahe.
Oh my gosh. So much has happened since we've spoken to you last.
So much.
First of all, two of our 2024 predictions for what BTS are up to are coming true.
Wild.
What the fuck?
Wild. I wouldn't have thought that actual predictions would come true.
I know. I thought we'd be wrong about everything. Mm-hmm. So the first one that is just knocking our socks off is that BTS have renewed their campaign with UNICEF. This was a shot in the dark prediction that I made, and we're both so happy.
It really was a shot in the dark.
For real.
When you mentioned it, I'm like, yeah, sure, you know.
Right, yeah. That chance. But then here it is. So back in 2017, BTS did the Love Myself campaign with UNICEF, and they really brought around global awareness for the problems of youth, ending violence against youth, and also just youth mental health. So they are continuing this campaign with the hashtag On My Mind initiative, which is aiming to help children and adolescents worldwide to love themselves and those around them with a healthy mind. And they have a really cool initiative where you can write a postcard on their website for this. We'll link it in the episode description, but you can kind of decorate the postcard. You can write it to ARMY, to anyone in general, to BTS, really whoever you want to, but just sharing positive words about what you do to keep a healthy mind and to love yourself and the people around you.
But it also sounds like you can share whatever story. It could also be what you're going through, what challenges you're going through, or any kind of, even if you're experiencing some kind of sadness. They said any story really is welcome. So I think that is really neat, just for the youth to be able to express themselves and share what is on their mind and feel comfortable with that.
Very cool. And I'm teaching so many youth right now, and I can see that they definitely need help and guidance in loving themselves and loving the people around them and seeing value in taking care of each other. I just really, really love this campaign. I love that they
are doing this second initiative with UNICEF. How incredible.
So amazing. The other thing that's coming true, Bethany had predicted that RM was going to come out with his next album in spring.
Yes.
And here we are.
Well, I mean, I had a 50-50 shot here, either spring or summer. Not to discredit myself.
Well,
but
I mean, just logically.
Logically, it made sense. And so, we got the announcement that RM is coming out with his album, Right Place, Wrong Person.
Yes. Yeah. So we first were getting inklings of this when I frequently stalk his archive Instagram page, and I see that he's archived most of his posts. Now they're all back, but initially there was only 6 posts, and the most, the oldest one was him performing the unreleased, unfinished track at Yoongi's concert in Seoul. And then he also had tagged this Instagram account that was RPWPs repeated over and over. Kind of looks like a keyboard smash, but it just can't be.
Because it's repeated.
And mm-hmm. So then we're all what the fuck is this? And it's all of these photos of him in the studio behind the scenes at probably a music video shoot or a photo shoot. And so it's okay, wow, he's really about to drop this album. And this is the first promos for it. And then of course he comes out with this announcement of Right Place, Wrong Person coming out on May 24th. So it's just really cool and really surprising. I mean, we have been hoping for it, but just surprising. Here's the announcement just now, and I loved how he did it.
I love how he did it too. It really seemed typical comeback where we would see on Twitter that BTS would change their profile picture and things like that. I think the first thing he did on Instagram was completely remove a profile picture.
Yeah, I was Bethany, oh my God, he removed his profile picture. Yeah. Come back
okay,
soon.
I really didn't think anything of it because I'm Namjoon is notorious for deleting posts and stuff. I was I don't know. He just couldn't decide. Maybe didn't like the photo.
Right.
The creating an entire different account, I was wait, what is happening? There's clearly something going on. So super cool that he made an account for it. We ended up getting an actual poster of Right Place, Wrong Person, and mm-hmm. there's some really cool art on it. We'll talk about it here in just a second. But this should be coming out, the full album. It's 11 tracks, and it's going to be released on May 24th. And the first song, right, is going to be released on May 10th.
Yes.
So, like,
oh my gosh,
around the corner.
Literally, what is so cool is they came out with, like, the release and promo schedule. And, of course, we're getting the classic, like, concept photos, teaser, you know, trailers. But we're getting one pre-release music video. And then after the album comes out, we're getting a title track music video and three more additional music videos plus a live video. So yeah. Five music videos.
Essentially, yeah.
Oh my fucking God. Plus a live performance video.
I know.
Like he worked so hard.
Yeah. I mean, we could feel before he even enlisted that he was, like, clearly working on something. And now it's evident just, like, how much he was working, because 11 songs,
right.
5 music videos, insane. Yeah. Really, really looking forward to.
I feel, like, so unexpected to get so much content from that.
I know.
But, right, yeah, the artwork, just to touch on it briefly.
Yeah.
So far, we know that the artist is Martin Grosch, and he is a Brussels-based Slovakian designer, and he combines a bunch of different forms abstractly, like type and images, mostly like his hand-drawn pen designs, and he has like an expansive portfolio that showcases his illustrations and his different identities and experiments through like the narrations that he tells with his drawings. So really cool, really unique artist. He's definitely like a museum published artist, so like Namjoon may have seen his work in a museum, or, you know, just come across his work throughout all of his travels and exploration. So it's cool to see it like represented here.
Or his book. I forgot what that was called.
Oh,
crap.
Well, we'll know it whenever we do
we're really gonna cover it. Like, there was also a description with like Big Hit that they put out of like what Right Place Wrong Person is really about.
It's gonna be like alternative and for, you know, like that person that feels alone even in a crowded room type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So of course we'll talk at length once all of this comes out, but that is for sure. All of our content ahead here is going to be all about Right Place, Wrong Person.
Right. But before that, we still need to talk about J-Hope's Hope on the Street docuseries.
And this is the last of it.
Yeah.
Really excited.
Yeah. Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right. Today, we're going to hang out for about an hour, and we're going to be talking about episodes 5 and 6, which are the last two episodes of Hope on the Street. Really excited to talk about the music, the dance that we see, what happens in these episodes, what J-Hope talks about. And then, of course, at the end of this episode, we're just going to briefly touch on all of the Hybe and Minhyejin drama.
It's just drama at this point.
There has been so much conversation around this, and a lot of armies have been involved in some of this discourse too, so we feel like we need to touch on it, but we'll talk about it here at the end of the episode.
Yeah, so stick around for that. Before we get into it, we want to say thanks, Iconics, for being here and for all of your support. If you'd like to support us even further, have access to our documents, our virtual Iconic hangouts, and our sound checks, consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Mm-hmm. Thank you all for being here, for all of your support, and of course for listening. So let's get into episode 5. Episode 5 of Hope on the Street is titled What If? And this takes place in New York City, and it's covering the dance of freestyle hip hop. What is super interesting about this episode already, just getting right into it, is that J-Hope talks about being confident in hip hop. Mm-hmm. He's like, this is what I know most. And so that was kind of refreshing, because in a lot of the other ones, he's like, ooh, I haven't done locking in a while.
Right.
You know, like, I'm really not as good as some of these guys. But he seemed pretty confident going in to do some freestyle hip hop dance. So just to give the definition that they provide in the episode, they say Freestyle hip hop dance is a dance style that emerged in the street culture of the Bronx, New York during the 1970s and 1980s, representing a dance style that advocates for a liberated form of life. It originated by freely blending various dance styles without being constrained by formalities. While originally referred to as a freestyle hip hop dance, it is commonly shortened to hip hop dance today. So one of the most renowned crews is Elite Force from the United States, which is who we get to spend a lot of time with in this episode.
Yeah. So like you said, this is really a different tone from J-Hope at the beginning of this episode. Like, he's more confident in hip hop. He's more self-assured and he's super excited to walk around the streets of New York City. Like he said, it's 7 a.m. and I'm hyper. Like, he just was so glad to be there. So glad to get into it. Him and Boogaloo Kim were talking about the dance company together, and the man that featured in it was like dressed top to bottom in Ralph Lauren polo. And so they were kind of talking about this over breakfast, and Boogaloo Kim is like, for us to get the look, we need to do that. We need to go get dripped out in Ralph Lauren. So it was really cool to like see them almost be like, do such a major tourist thing, like go in and buy a whole new outfit.
It was really cute.
Put it on and go on into the streets. It was so cute. Yeah. And of course we see them like throughout you know, the beginning kind of dance segments of this episode dancing in that outfit. So it was cool to see like where they got it from, and you know, they were trying to like be ultimate roots of hip hop dancing in like this fashion style.
Right. Also shows how immersed they are, like even when they're not filming, like they're at their hotel room like watching documentaries on like other dancers and things like that. I just find that so interesting. Right. But yeah, super cute to see them go into this Ralph Lauren polo outfit, you know, or into the store and like both pick out outfits that are kind of matching but not really, like they're the same shirts and stuff, but like different colors.
Complimentary, I would say, with their outfits together.
Yeah. So after this, we get introduced to Link from Elite Force Crew. So J-Hope and Hak-Nam meet up with him at his studio to learn the dance that he had prepared for J-Hope. And J-Hope didn't realize that there were still dance moves that even he would struggle to imitate the first time. Mm-hmm. You could see him actually struggling and like working through these dance moves with Link. And it's just interesting to see him being like so dissatisfied and being like a little frustrated, but like really working through it. But J-Hope, of course, didn't want to change it. He wanted to challenge himself and learn the moves. And so Link really talks about this. Like, he's like kind of compliments J-Hope in a way, saying like, I'm not worried about him and his passion in a sense, because, you know, any other dancer would have come in and been like, no, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't want to do that change dance it. Move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he was persistent and wanted to learn the choreo.
You know what I love too about that is that any other dance style previously in this docuseries, maybe he wouldn't have been so like open and like, you know, willing to step up for the challenge and realize, okay, I falter in this and I need to get better, because he came into this one so self-assured and so confident. Mm-hmm. And so he was surprised that there was truly surprised that there was something that he couldn't do immediately, you know, and to say like, I can rise to the occasion, and to not let that get to him, you know, it didn't shake his confidence at all. He was still like, I can get this for sure.
It's almost refreshing to him.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, something that I feel like I'm an expert in and there's still more to learn.
Right.
Yeah. Very cool. Link also ends up saying, quote, your name says it all. I hope you can continue to keep the passion, that fire alive. It's the only way you're going to survive in entertainment or anything you do. Such wise words, you know, for J-Hope, especially in this episode of What If, like, what if I wasn't a dancer? What if I didn't have this? You know,
what if I didn't have hope?
I didn't have hope or my passion? And he's just saying, like, I hope that you can keep that that passion and that fire alive, because it's the only way to survive in this industry, essentially. But he doesn't seem worried about J-Hope, really, with being able to keep his passion. He's like, he's clearly a dancer, and it shows.
He loves it. Yeah. It's in every fiber of his being.
It is a part of his soul.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Link shared a little bit about his story, too, and his background. We just loved getting to learn about Link. Like, he is a ray of sunshine in a way that J-Hope is too. Like, he is smiling ear to ear, like, the whole time. Like, he just has this natural charisma, even through the screen, and just watching him, you can, like, feel his presence.
Yeah.
So he said, like, his story on how he got into dance is that his family on holidays would drink and then they would fight, but that eventually his uncle would play music and it made everyone really happy and they started to dance instead of, like, fighting. Mm-hmm. And so he just noticed that music seemed to make people happy. And he said that he's always happy now. He's always smiling. And that, you know, dance and music is what brings people together and brings people joy. Yeah. And I just thought that was beautiful.
I thought so too. And I loved how Boogaloo Kin, he was like, no matter where we're from, all families are the same. Yeah. You know, like, we all grew up like this. And also, like, we all, or like at least them three, experiences that dance does bring people together and does provide, like, that genuine joy.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. They all, like, laughed over that moment, had such a great bonding moment there. Yeah.
Yeah. He expands a little bit more on hip hop too. And I love his breakdown of hip hop. He said hip means knowledge, right. Like, to be in the know. Like, if you're hip to
something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And hop means to move. So if you, he says, if you were hip to where the dance was happening, you'd hop the turnstile to get there.
Such a New York thing.
I know. Too. Hop in the turnstile. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very cool.
That's very cool. Mm-hmm. I love, like, how the lingo is rooted in what people were actually doing. And nowadays you don't even think about it, but back then it had even more significant meaning to them.
Yeah.
And people like Link, who are, like, living legends and, you know, like, historians of the dance, are able to share this information. Yeah. Like, such a cool thing.
Very, very cool.
Yeah. So then they kind of get into, like, the what if of it all for in this episode. And, like, you would think that this episode being what if is the episode where J-Hope is, like, reaching that climax of really, like, all of his wonders and his anxieties that we've seen him kind of deal with throughout the docuseries, that it would all, you know, come to a front. But he really is not struggling here. It seems like here he's, like, already processed it and he's, like, ready to move on and ready to just, like, accept the what if and, you know, kind of triumph over it and not worry about it as much. You know, he's not worried about if the passion is always there or is always there as strong. He's self-assured enough to know that dance is who he is and he's never going to totally lose it. You know, he says, the more I learn about dance, the more fun it gets. And, like, you know, going back and learning about all these different dance styles is making him, like, you know, reigniting that passion so easily.
Yeah.
And Link says, you know, he kind of comments, what if you couldn't get nothing from dance? Dancing. Were you inspired to dance just because you love it? You love that feeling that you get when you dance? You have to find that answer. Why do I dance? And so J-Hope said, if I didn't have dance, I wouldn't be where I am right now. And me without dance doesn't make sense. You know, like, he knows, like, he just had to do it when he was young. He just felt this calling to dance, and it's just purely who he is.
Yeah.
And so I just love that, like, through this episode we see both Link and Boogaloo Kin, like, kind of being sounding boards in, like, this development of this mental kind of process and perception of J-Hope and himself and his dance style and, like, how he carries dance with him.
And cool. I, like you were saying, like, it's just through this series he's really gone to his roots, and that seems to be a huge answer to the what if question.
Yeah.
Is returning to his roots and Link questioning, saying, why do I dance? And he says, like, you have to ask yourself these questions. And just like with any profession, anything that you do, Kayla, you've talked about it with teaching, like, what is your why do I do this? What's your why? And I think that is what J-Hope has been asking himself throughout this whole series. Like, why do I dance? Right. Why do I love dance? Why do I do this? And returning to his roots really has reminded him of why he does it. And it reignites and reminds him of that passion that he has, you know, and gets him through, like, the burnouts, gets him through the challenging times.
Yeah, totally. I think that, like, this episode was the beginning of him really, like, realizing that and, like, having appreciation for, like, all of that history he's had with dance.
So then we get to see Link and J-Hope dancing to What If, and
incredible.
It's so fun because, like, they're in New York. I would say this is the most that you see the pedestrians actually like kind of getting like being like, what is happening? What's going on here?
You see some people walking by like filming them too. Like, yeah. This must be something. Right. I'm going to get this for later. You know, I'm going to go viral on TikTok or whatever they think. Yeah.
But I absolutely loved seeing these two very extroverted and joyful people dancing together. Because, like I was saying, Link is just has this charisma to him, smiling all the time. Mm-hmm. And J-Hope totally has that going on, too. Like, he is just the ray of sunshine that we love. Mm-hmm. Definitely has a presence. So you just see them having a blast. And it's just like, you know, you see them doing like their own unique styles, but also just like having a good time together.
Yeah. They just really blended well together. Mm-hmm. And J-Hope was fucking incredible.
Yeah.
He had the hat on, you know, mm-hmm. the hat on like kind of down over his eyes.
I know. And it was like, ooh. Is his hair longer or what? But it's just because like he had some of his hair mm-hmm. pulled, like almost pulled all the way back behind him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He looked really, really good. But
the gray sweatpants were working.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't know if it's just he was in J mode because he was in America.
Oh my gosh.
But like I couldn't help but to notice in this episode he said the word damn like the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, he was just like, damn bro, damn. And I'm like, was he saying damn in the other episodes or is it just in New York? No,
it's just like the cool American thing.
Yeah. But I will say with the hip hop freestyle, when he's dancing to What If, like What If is a very intense song and his freestyle hip hop dance really showed that. And like you see him like jump up high and then all mm-hmm. of a sudden he's like down on the ground, like very intense movements, big movements. He's just kind of all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Impressive.
Super impressive. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was really fucking going hard. And then like, I just love too, like Link had prepared this choreo that they do together during the chorus, and it was, you know, part of it was what we saw earlier in the episode that J-Hope was like struggling to get down, but I love seeing both of them execute it. And it's not like J-Hope changed the move or anything, but they're doing the whole choreo together in their own styles, like they're mm-hmm. both doing the same moves, but you can tell it has the each individual's flair and, you know, kind of like touch on it, and it just like really harken back to like that freestyle dance at its core, you know,
and
that,
hip-hop at its core,
right? And it's like not very often that like in hip-hop style you're doing just a full choreography together that whole time, but they kind of did their own thing back and forth and coming together for the chorus. It was so perfect. Yeah. And it didn't, you know, it didn't need to be like super polished, super synchronized. It was just instead just natural and flowed so well. And a couple times they were like both smiling and it's just like amazing to see them.
Mm-hmm. Breaking away from the constraints of, you know, a unique dance style.
Right.
That's like all about what hip hop is, you know, being able to dance a little bit more freely.
Yeah.
And that shows.
Yeah, so, for sure. So overall, we just love this episode. We mm-hmm. loved how confident and comfortable J-Hope was. We didn't see like that self-doubt creeping in every mm-hmm. moment. He didn't seem to be too worried about like, what if he didn't have dance? Because like, he knows that he does at this mm-hmm. point. He knows that's always a part of him. And it just seems like he already really worked past that.
Yeah. And he wrote What If a while ago. So I feel like he's already kind of worked through some of that What If too.
Which is why Jack in the Box. It's cool that it comes back here, because we're going to now dive into the song. And mm-hmm. the main addition to the song is the bridge, mm-hmm. where it seems like maybe he's kind of working through that.
Yeah, that's that addition that he has for the song. Yeah.
So let's talk about it.
Yeah. So for production and vibe, What If it's the dance mix is what it's titled officially. And it has Jinbo, the Super Freak, featuring on it. We've talked a lot about What If in our Jack in the Box album review, so we're going to keep it maybe a little bit more brief with the lyrics. We're really just going to be talking about that new bridge. But we just want to mention that, like, of course, there is that sample of the Incoming, which is like the Wu-Tang Clan. So it's just like cool to see that continue to be featured in here.
Mm-hmm.
So the song is produced by Dem Joints, written by J-Hope, Dem Joints, R. Jones, R. Diggs, and then samples Shimmy Shimmy Ya by Old Dirty Bastard of the Wu-Tang Clan. So we hear the piano that I think is just like that major component of What If. Like mm-hmm. you hear it throughout, it's consistent throughout the song. And it has these really harsh staccatos and it gives off a sense of emergency.
Right.
And we talked a lot about that at length in our album review. But What If, like, definitely has like this alarming sound to it. It's like do 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 do, you know, like your heart is like pounding a little bit when you're listening to it. It's like a little uncomfortable sometimes listening to it because it's unsettling. But this bridge that's added to it completely breaks us free from that kind of emergent sound. And so this bridge, Jimbo's voice is just so soothing. It's very airy. And, you know, it adds this like sense of kind of like a voice of reason that's coming in the middle of this song and brings a little bit of calm in this very alert state that we were put in.
Yeah.
And so not only do we have his really, really pretty vocals going on, the instrumental drops too, and that harsh piano softens. It's still there, but it's just like taking a little bit of a backseat.
Yeah, but very soothing. Like the bridge comes in, and you know, I don't know how much of the rest of the song's production really changed. If anything, it sounds like maybe even more harsh or more intense. So when the bridge comes in and that instrumental kind of drops off and it's just his beautiful vocals, it is so like relieving, you know. It's like much needed, and it's like this part of the song that we never knew how beautiful, you know, it could add to it and how much we needed it.
Kind of unexpected for it.
Yeah, I think so too. So just like the original verses of this song, just a brief summary of that, and if again, Jack in the Box album review if you want the whole thing. But in this, J-Hope is questioning himself and his life, and he's wondering like if he's enough, if he deserves what he has, like why he even has it in the first place. And he wonders also if he would still have passion if it was all taken away from him, or if he never even got it in the first place, if he was never able to achieve his, you know, his goals and his dreams. So that's the big what if, you know, anxiety spiral that he's taking us down. Yeah. And then the bridge comes in.
Yeah, he's asking all those really hard questions. What if I didn't have dance? What if I didn't have passion? What if I didn't have a dream? You know, all these things.
A car, a house, hope, you know. What if I didn't have every element of myself? Could I still be happy?
And it is like that spiral.
Yeah,
that he's going down.
Right.
So the bridge, we're just going to read the lyrics here. It says, but the truth is, I could see those visions in my sky. I could find a hand that always held me through this ride. Progression was something I was hoping for. My prayers are answered every day, taking one step at a time. Keep moving forward. JB the hope, JB the hope. And so this bridge really does act as a reminder that he doesn't have to be doing everything by himself, and just like a reminder that it's okay to lean on others when he is doubting himself or he's having these anxiety-ridden questions. And, you know, he touches on that in Jack in the Box too, about like being able to lean on people. And so it's just nice to know that like he's had support throughout his entire journey, and he just has to kind of remind himself that it's okay to lean on those people again, you know, like it's okay to ask for a little bit of help when you're feeling, you know, either this anxiety or you feel like you're spiraling or you're kind of losing touch of
but
what's
also
around
like,
you.
It's even okay to know that the reason why you're at where you're at is because of other people and not just because of yourself.
Very true.
It doesn't have to be just your own accolades. You just did this, you grinded up here, you know, you pulled yourself up. It doesn't have to be that. It's okay that other people helped you along the way. Like that is what human connection is. And that should be like your goal, right? To help other people, help yourself. And so like, it's the realization that that's okay too.
Yeah. It doesn't have to always all be on you.
Yeah, totally.
So The answer to his why does he dance is, you know, the that progression, the continuing to move forward, the continuing to learn, I think is a huge component of it too. And that is what helps him move forward with his passion when he starts to experience that burnout or is questioning why he does what he does. JB the Hope also feels very much that J-Hope can have hope in himself and in his future versus always being everyone else's hope. That's kind of what I got from it. You know, JB the Hope, it just, it's not I don't know. It just is like a little reminder for him, like to be have hope in yourself, mm-hmm. have hope in yourself right. and what is to come for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And almost like, I mean, it's made me think of what Link was saying about like, you know, it's in your name, you know, like I hope that you have this. And it's like him reminding himself that it's who he is too. It's in yeah. his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Love it so much.
Yeah.
Great addition to the song.
Totally.
Totally. All right, let's dive into the last episode of the docuseries, episode 6, Neuron. So this, of course, takes place in Gwangju. Really, we were talking about last episode, him going back to his roots of hip hop. This is like the ultimate source of his roots here, going back to his hometown, his dance origins. And in this episode, he plans to meet up with his original dance group, Neuron. So Neuron is a crew formed by artists based in Gwangju. It comprises of dancers, rappers, singers, and videographers. And the crew collaborates on various activities such as battles, performances, dance musicals, and concerts. So they're still going today. It's not just a group that J-Hope left in, you know, 2012 and it dwindled into nothing. Like, they are still a live, active group.
Which is cool. I did not know that.
With, like, younger generations getting into it. Mm-hmm. So freaking cool. This is, like, a group that we've talked about so many times on the podcast and never actually, like, knew who they were.
Right.
So I love that J-Hope and that Neuron themselves are, like, giving us this information and letting us, like, get a glimpse into, like, this past, but also who they are right now.
Yeah, putting a spotlight on them.
Yes, they so deserve it. So we'll get to Neuron soon, but the episode starts with them, with J-Hope and Boogaloo Kin sitting in this theater, and they were dancing on the stage, and they're just kind of sitting in the seats, and J-Hope explains that this is the May 18th Memorial Center, where he performed a musical as a child called Lingering Sense, and he said, "This is the root of my roots. We're sitting in the space that's the root of my roots." And Hak-nam was like, "Wow, like, you know, you must feel very strongly being back here." And he's like, "I have so many memories coming back. Mm-hmm. It feels crazy to be back, like, where I believe, like, it all started for me, like, mm-hmm. where he first realized, I love to perform. Mm-hmm. I love to dance on stage right there." Like, so fucking cool. I'm, like, getting chills right now just, like, talking about it.
I mean, it's strong for him to say the root of my roots. Yeah. You know, like, this is the very beginning.
Right.
Very beginning.
Very cool. So after this, we kind of get, like, a dancing, you know, they're going through Gwangju. He's reflecting. He's nostalgic. Mm-hmm. He's like, "Oh, I used to go to that convenience store every day." And then we see them walking through, like, an open-air market. And I love how they set up this dance scene, because J-Hope kind of gets, like, a little smirk on his face. Like, he has a wild hair to just, like, start dancing. So he just kind of starts to, like, strut forward. And as he's walking forward, he's dancing. And Hak-nam is like, "Okay, yeah, I see you." And then they both end up, like, stopping at, like, kind of this corner intersection of the market. And they do this whole dance, you know. It's so great. It's like this, you know, street dance, ultimate Gwangju, you know, Neuron-esque street style dance.
Yeah.
And it just seems like J-Hope is, like, overcome by the spirit of dance, and Hak-nam can't help but to
join in.
Yeah. And then we see, like, the passerbys, like, you know, people aren't walking through this time because there's not quite enough space, but they're kind of walking up, and we see, like, these cute little old Korean ladies just, like, standing in the background observing, like, "Oh, what's going on?"
Yeah.
You know,
one of them, like, looked like she was gonna pass, and she went over to her friend, like, "What do we do?"
Yeah, right.
They were really, like, cute to me.
So,
like,
cute,
kind of seeing them huddled back there, like, "Okay, we'll just
wait
for a moment."
Probably almost done. Yeah. it was very cute.
Yeah. I think that scene, just the breaking out into dance, and then also, like, once they finish up, they both kind of, like, giggle a little
and
bit
and, like, just walk away.
Yeah, like, J-Hope's like, "I can't believe we just did that," you know, but, like, they did. Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's
the first time that we see them just break out into dance instead of having, like, a cut
a setup
to them.
Yeah.
So good.
So then we see the reunion with his old members from Neuron. It was so sweet and amazing to see them all together again. J-Hope reflected on how much he learned from all of them, kind of expressing his gratitude. All the dance that he learned, like, he really credits to them.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about how nice it is to see them again and just how much they all, like, he was kind of reminded of how much they all make each other laugh.
Mm-hmm.
you really see, like, he's just, like, lit up when he's around them.
Yeah.
And it really reminded me of, like, feeling like no time has passed. You know, whenever you meet up with some, like, old friends mm-hmm. and, you know, it's been, like, whatever, 5 years, 6 years, and then you meet up and it's just like, man, things haven't changed.
Right.
That's definitely how it was for all of the members of Neuron here. Yeah.
It was so beautiful to see.
Mm-hmm. So then they have this little moment where the members get to kind of, like, strut their stuff a little bit, but they're dancing to J-Hope songs like Mama and Arson, yeah. which was so cool to see them, like, just kind of freestyle dancing to J-Hope's music.
Yeah, I felt mm-hmm. like Mama was so unexpected too. I was like, whoa, pulling one out from the discography, mm-hmm. you know, but they did it so well, and I love that this was, like, their introduction. Like, before we even got their names, we saw their dance.
Yeah.
Very cool way to introduce the four members of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you get to see that the diversity of their dancing too. Yeah. It's like clearly not just one style. It just seems as if they're dancing with a mixture of whatever dance style
their
they
own
want
personal
to.
Styles. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So we get an introduction of the members. So the members include Doc2, DXNG, WXX. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Add.bomb and Mishka. So super cool to get to know the names of the members of Neuron. Like, right. maybe it's been out there and we've just never, like, searched for it. Mm-hmm. But to have this formal introduction is just wonderful, especially with a docuseries that J-Hope put together.
Right.
So J-Hope talks a lot about, like, really the origins of how he wasn't able to pay for dance lessons, and that he was super grateful to Neuron for letting him, like, learn for free and dance with them. He talks mm-hmm. about how, like, when they were all dancing together, like, they even had, like, a little kitchenette, and sometimes they would sleep there mm-hmm. where they were practicing at the studio. Like, mm-hmm. they really spent so many, like, hours of the day together just right. going over dance styles, and that he learned so much from them. Like, everything he really learned at the beginning, he credits to them.
Yeah, and he was just so grateful. He was like, even though I would dance all night until 4 a.m. and then go to school, no sleep, you know, or maybe a little nap, like, I would never complain because I was so happy to be learning dance and mm-hmm. to be doing what I loved.
Yeah.
Very cool. It was, and also just, like, the brotherhood that they had going on, like the little kitchenette, how mm-hmm. they said there was always a rice cooker, and then they would trade off, like, people bringing in side dishes to eat along mm-hmm. with the rice. Like, I just love, like, that, you know, like, that natural team spirit, camaraderie. And they don't necessarily had to at that time, you know, maybe they weren't training for any, like, dance battle or a competition specifically, but, like, to just have all of that collective passion together yeah. and, like, we're here working no matter what uh-huh. is so cool.
Yeah,
you know,
like it could easily have, like, been soured in one way or another, you know, right. but, like, it just seemed like genuine love and care for each other.
And they were all there to make it work.
Uh-huh.
Super cool. Yeah. So after this, his former members reflected. They were all sitting around Korean barbecue. And this is cool because in this whole conversation, Haknam is, like, silent. He's just sitting back yeah. and listening. It's probably very cool for him to see, like, okay, this is his real roots, you know, the mm-hmm. real people that he started with. And so they, all of the members are kind of sharing this variously, that they can still see that J-Hope has passion and that he was just born to be a dancer. A couple of them shared that they were so nervous to see him again after all these years, and that it brought up such old memories for them, but they are so happy to see that he's still the same guy.
Yeah.
And that it just felt so comfortable to reunite, that they specifically said he's still considerate. He has just always been. Mm-hmm. He's not arrogant, which they thought maybe he would be after all this time and success. And he's just the same J-Hope from youth, which is just the best compliment I think he could receive.
It's also a theme.
Yeah.
With all, like, everyone has kind of said this about him in every single episode. The guest is always like, yeah, no, he's just so cool.
And
like,
how could you just not love him?
Yeah.
Like, really.
He's not full of himself.
Yeah.
Like, he really is just a grounded guy.
Right. They all shared that they laughed and smiled so much together that their cheeks hurt, and that, like, they remember how much they admire his smile and how much, like, just joy, even just his smile brings them. The hope. Oh, my God.
I know. But they talked about his smile when he was young, too. They were like, his smile is, like, the same. Like, he's always, like, had this, like, ear-to-ear smile
right.
that is just, like, beaming.
That's why he's just Hobie Sunshine, for real. The sweetest thing ever was they gifted him a photo book of all of their old memories together. It is like, you know, a 1-inch binder, and they made it a yellow binder, which I think is just such a hopeful color.
Sunshine.
And he's just like flipping through it and seeing all these old photos, all these like different competitions they did, places they went together. It was just so beautiful. Like, I bet he's just gonna cherish that forever.
Yeah. Like this homemade gift that they made him, you know, all of these really enjoyable memories that they had together.
And then at the end of this dinner, they all kind of do a cheers, and J-Hope and Boogaloo Kin cheers for a possible season 2, which I feel like we're getting. If there's a volume 1 of this, you know, EP, there has to be a volume 2, you know, like give us season 2 for sure.
I would think so.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll find out. We'll see when he comes back.
In November.
Exactly. I'm sure. What his plans are.
Right.
And then at the end, we also get to just see all of Neuron dancing. And then you see those youthful kids and adolescents that are also dancing with them, that it just kind of feels like, you know, J-Hope was once in that place. He was once that young, learning how to dance. And there's Neuron, who is like leading these kids in the dance too. And J-Hope is also dancing there, but he's just like there at the beginning. He comes in like at certain parts, but really the focus is not on him at all. Mm-hmm. It is really just like the spotlight on these future dancers and Neuron, who is like helping teach and like educate these young dancers on like how to dance.
I loved how he did that. I loved how they were able to again show a spotlight on Neuron and like the future generation of dancers, but also these dancers, these four dancers of Neuron that like are so revered in J-Hope's mind as being the people that taught him how to dance and enabled him to get to where he is. To see them like being able to be highlighted too was so cool.
And I love the comment that you made when we were watching. You're like, they're better than some K-pop groups.
I know. Oh my god. So like when Neuron was dancing and they had, of course they had like freestyle moments, but then they had all synchronized choreography. They were so fucking in sync. They are definitely better than some K-pop groups out there now. I was like, these are super uber talented people. And I just loved the kids that are training in Neuron being there too, because it's like seeing the representation of J-Hope's past and then like his present when he would just like kind of hop in there and, you know, thinking about his future of dance here too. And just knowing that it's so rich, it's so vibrant. There's so much there to look forward to. So I just loved how they showcased it here at the end.
I did too. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So overall, like, he at the end here reflects with Hak-nam over just like the entire documentary at the end of the episode. And we almost felt a little emotional over like the growth that J-Hope got to have through the series, and also that Hak-nam had over the series too. Like, he really talked about how much he benefited from it. And seeing the montage of him meeting up with each dancer for the first time, the joys that they experienced while working and learning together, just reminded us of the struggles that J-Hope felt internally throughout this entire series. But really, in these last two episodes, like, we see a much lighter, happier Jung-Hoseok, who's not only reminded of where his passion for dance comes from, but he's completely renewed in it as well. Incredible.
Beautiful.
Incredible.
Yeah. They like wrapped this docuseries up in such a beautiful bow and did it so well. And it's like, now after we've seen them all, I want to go rewatch every episode, like binge watch it like all at once, because we didn't. We spaced it out. But like, you know, just to see that immediate flow and progression too, because they really did it so well. Like, they production of this, incredible. J-Hope's growth, incredible. All the dance showcased, phenomenal. Like, so
very
happy
thought
that
out series. The flow is incredible for this.
So let's talk about this actual song itself, Neuron. So this is featuring Gecko and Yoon Murray. Yoon Murray is also known as Natasha Shanter Reed, and she's an American-born South Korean-based solo rapper, singer, songwriter, and producer who's also a member of the Korean hip-hop trio MFTBY, which is like My Fans Are Better Than Yours. That's what the acronym stands for. And she's in that group with Tiger JK, who is in Sexy New Kim.
Is that her husband?
I don't know. Is she?
I thought it was her husband.
Well, maybe they are and they're in the same group. See, that's like information that I missed out on.
I would have to look that
up. I'm going to trust you there.
Okay.
Okay. So Gekko, he has also collabed with RM on a song I used to be obsessed with, Gaja, which is the word for elephant. But he's a South Korean rapper. Him and Choiza comprise the hip hop duo Dynamic Duo, which rose to fame with their debut album Taxi Driver in 2004. He released his first solo album, Red and Gray, in 2015. And really, I mean, he's a great feature, but we cannot rave enough about Yunmiray's verse. It's just very fucking badass. Mm-hmm. It's the first time that BTS has had a Korean female rapper giving a verse on one of those songs. Like, of course, we've had Lotto, we've had Nicki Minaj, but we have not had like Korean rap, a woman just going the fuck off. And she has the best verse. It's just incredible.
She does.
We love it so much.
Yeah.
Overall, we love that this song sounds so hopeful. Specifically, the chorus sounds super hopeful. The background singers singing in unison kind of gives that sense of togetherness and, you know, belonging together and that brightness. And then the verses give that classic hip hop, you know, the old school hip hop, the kick snares, the records mixing, some piano and chimes, and like even some funk and guitar in the back. That's kind of like, you know, what we experienced at the very beginning of this album too, with all that funk with like the popping and the locking. So very great to bring that back here too.
And you really, this song, you feel a lot of that hope, that hopefulness. Yeah, that unison and all of them singing together. Yeah, you feel like life is going to be okay.
Right.
You know, you get that kind of sense of hope.
Totally goes along with the episode. Totally goes along with what J-Hope wants us to be feeling and experiencing at the end of this album and docuseries.
Also, I just looked it up. Yunmiray, she is married to Tiger JK.
Okay. And they're embalming. Well, Tiger JK is embalming Tiger.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Well, there you go.
Cool.
They're in the same group.
Small world.
Also. That's very cool. I love the group of artists that BTS are working with outside of, you know, their own group. It's very cool.
According to Wikipedia, it could be wrong.
Well,
but
I doubt it. All
right, well, let's get into these lyrics. So we really just have to read off the chorus because the chorus repeats itself a lot in this song and it really acts as a mantra. So the chorus says, I'll tell you again, we'll never ever give up forever. I'll say it again, we'll always be alive to move us. Your deep rooted movement, don't ever lose it because above all, it's priceless. And really that core of like, we'll never ever give up forever. And the mention of moving here too, like it goes back to that dance, but like we'll always be alive to move us. So it's just this, again, that hopefulness that like no matter what, through the struggle, we're never going to give up. We're going to keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. Like we're going to keep going.
Yeah. And even like the melody here is like going up. Like I'll tell you again, that chord progression sounding very positive too, very hopeful, very capable of, you know, and trusting in these words too.
Yeah. And it's in English, so easy to sing along.
Right. Too. And I love the deep rooted movement as we're talking about him going back to his roots here with Neuron. Very cool. So the refrain, he says Neuron, he spells out the letters of Neuron, N-E-U-R-O-N, attention. And then he does this play on words, so fantastic. He says, new run, N-E-W-R-U-N, ain't enough. And so this is just a really great play on words, and it's giving the idea of constantly going and starting fresh whenever. He says, all my neurons respond, get up new, get up run. And so I just, again, driving home the point that you can always keep going. You can always start anew. You can keep running, you know, giving us like Run BTS vibes. You mentioned that to me earlier, right before we recorded, like Run BTS with Neuron. Here's that theme coming in. And then I love at the end of this, he says, my upright generosity begins, better new, better run. And so that line makes me think of like, you just have to keep going, finding the progression and the way to keep moving forward, and also feeling grateful for where you are and what you have, and like spreading that through the generosity towards yourself and your others. So it's kind of continuing the mantra from the chorus of like those good reminders that we all need sometimes.
And, you know, just again, returning to your roots and just kind of asking yourself, why do I do this?
You know?
The play on words with neuron and new run.
Right.
Genius.
New beginning, refreshed.
Yes.
So good.
Doesn't have to be the same thing completely fresh. Right.
but yeah. thinking about how going back to your roots can give you that refreshment.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 So getting into J-Hope's verse here, it's just so cool that he really starts to elaborate on how neuron is like related to nerves, you know, and he says, new run, a time for myself once again, get my nerves working again, just like the younger me, dive, my body's freestyle, still freestyle, my timeless soul, a whole new type, such a deep rooted tree, like deep spring water, because these neurons are the cells that awakened me.
Wow.
Oh, I just love, 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 like neuron being like the group that he came from. Mm-hmm. And this play on words here with just like getting into, there's just so many other metaphors going on here. Yeah. It's just like talking about the actual neuron mm-hmm. for your nerves. And then also talking about like the deep, like deep rooted, like a tree, like tree roots mm-hmm. looking very similar to like the roots of a neuron and mm-hmm. like that, the axon. And he's just talking about how these cells are what awakened me mm-hmm. and deep rooted in the ground of this tree is that deep spring water and what like replenishes him, what revitalizes mm-hmm. him. It makes me think of Arson when right. he's like burnt out, no passion. Where do I go from here? He goes back to his roots and there's right. that like refreshment that he needs.
Right.
And it awakens him. So yeah, the metaphor of the physical neurons in your body and the similar visual appearance to the roots of a tree. Mm-hmm. Love that.
Yes.
Just neuron being the root of his dance and passion and also how that is what sparks his new inspiration. Mm-hmm. It's just very, very cool.
Sparking the neurons in his body, mm-hmm. you know, like when he goes back to those roots, it's like the muscle memory of it all comes back and it's like easy again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. I love, it's like almost like a triple entendre of how yeah. he's using those lyrics and that metaphor of yeah. the neuron.
His verse is so clever.
Yeah, yeah. Super clever. So then when we go into Gecko's verse, so Gecko at the beginning of his verse, it's kind of like a back and forth between the demands of his job and like his regular lifestyle outside of work. So he shares that he reflects on his life and when he looks and takes a sneak peek in the mirror, you know, what he sees isn't bad. But like he definitely knows that his life has been lived here. You know, he knows that he's older now. And he kind of talks about how he is not always looking at like that progression in his career anymore. He no longer embraces the bombs. He said, I've passed the ball on to my crew while I play catch ball with my lookalike son on weekends. So he knows that the work he's done is so good and so brilliant, and he's able to find comfort in reflecting over a great career so far and knowing that he doesn't always have to be as hands-on and always putting out music and always controlling everything that's happening. Mm-hmm. He can look back and, you know, be that lifestyle dad that goes home and has home-cooked meals.
Yeah.
He also takes a moment in his verse here when he says, like, the metronome next to my childhood piano, matching it became my job, and the payout keeps piling up. He's finding comfort reflecting again over the career he's had, but looking back at that childhood and feeling a bit nostalgic of where he came from. And again, like, the why is coming up, mm-hmm. why he got started, how he got started, you know, sitting at the piano and being proud of how far he's come. But he kind of reaffirms that he's always staying rooted in that origin story there. Yeah. And so anytime that the anxiety about his future and his career lurks up like a ghost, he says, he screams and he shouts back and is not worried about it and goes home to a bland home-cooked meal yeah. that he's perfectly content with.
Yeah. It sounds like for him, he's also talking about like what keeps his passion alive here too. And I think those moments with his son and those like kind of just bland home-cooked meals
yeah.
kind of are, that's the refreshment he needs.
Right.
You know, that's kind of like what, you know, and then also revisiting his origin story too.
Yeah, it's the grounding. Yeah. I think, you know, maybe he's at home and he has that childhood piano and metronome sitting in his house and he's going to play catch with his son and he's like realizing all of those things are not as important as these things right here, right, and who I am and where I come from.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that he's able to kind of let go of a lot of those worries about the future because he knows he has all of what he needs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love it. Love it so much.
Yeah. So and then, yeah, we get Yuma Rae's verse.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. It's the best part of the song.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And because we haven't heard much from her, I love how she starts her verse where really like the first six lines is like her introduction. Who the fuck she is. She's on the scene. She's owning this shit. Mm-hmm. I love that she says like love and peace, the two letters roaming in my heart, throw your peace in the sky. She says dark winged baby T. So she must also go by baby T. Little Miss Fiery Smile. And she says J-Hope done gave T the beat drop, which is true. This is not only the best verse in the song because of like what she brings as a rap, but the production switches up here. So the beat does drop and she's like such a fucking genius to mention it and be like, I own this shit, this is mine, I deserve this, I'm claiming this. Like this is like that, you know, that rapper that's like proving themselves and maybe on the come up a little bit more, still like trying to gain more of that respect from her peers. And you know, so I just love this introduction of hers,
and she kind of elaborates on why she deserves the best spot of the song,
right,
you know, where she gets this beat drop. And she's saying it's because I can learn to flow and passion can't be taught, and that she has the passion and the hustle. So she's kind of saying like, yeah, I earned this collaboration because I, not only this collaboration, but this sweet spot in this song, like this really killer spot in the song, because she has such strong passion and such dedication and hard work.
Yeah, totally. She also talks about like her why here. So she says music and family is what it's all about. They keep me going day in and day out, and that they keep me motivated on days that she hates it too. So this also not only showing her why and the reason why she's continuing to climb and grind in her rap career, but it also reminded us of all the dancers that we've seen throughout this docuseries and them sharing that like dance and their family is their whole life. And even like Gecko talked about like his family, and them just like realizing like this is what I love and my passion, and these are the people that have supported me every step of the way.
And J-Hope's verse talks about the support too,
right?
I just really love this song, that not only it has this hopefulness to it, but all like J-Hope and the two features, every verse talks about their why and why they continue to do it, where their passion comes from, and then also that expression of gratitude for the people who support them. It's like, I don't know, it, I just think it's super incredible that like we've heard J-Hope talk so much about like burnout and losing passion and arson and like who am I, what if, you know, and this song is very like everything is okay, here's why you do what you do. Here, it's like the answer to all of it.
Yeah.
With Neuron.
Totally. Totally. And it's just like so poetic that it's just his roots and where he came from.
I know.
And you know, like, so I mean,
fucking love it.
An incredible full circle moment that he really was able to portray in such a beautiful way here. Great song. Absolutely great song. Fucking loved it.
Overall, super enjoyed Hope on the Street. We talked a lot at the Iconic Hangout about this whole docuseries, and it just, after that Iconic Hangout, I talked to you, Kayla, just like, I really enjoyed getting to just express how much love we have for him and how really just great of a human being J-Hope is. Like, this whole docuseries, he's talking about his struggles, but he's really putting the spotlight on everyone else. Like, he's never the center of attention. But he's just so open to everyone and everything and the dance styles, and he's just there to learn, and we're there to learn. Like he said, that's what he really wanted this whole series to be about, is like just learning about dance. And it was so much more than that. There was a lot to take away from it.
I totally agree with what you're saying, and I am just so grateful that he gave this to us, hoping for a season two, for a volume two.
You can tell he worked hard on it.
For
like,
real.
I mean, once again, J-Hope.
Yeah.
Like, he never half-assed anything.
Never. Never a day
he's
in his life.
He's fully in it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Didn't Boogaloo Ken say, like, are you a perfectionist? Like, at one point, he's just like, are you a perfectionist? And then J-Hope says, I want to be a perfectionist, but like basically says I'm not good enough to be a perfectionist. Yeah. That is the definition of perfectionism. Like you're not even good enough to be a perfectionist. Right. What the fuck?
Right. Just never giving yourself enough credit.
I just thought it was funny that like Boogaloo can kind of have this moment of, are you a perfectionist? So funny.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. If you want to talk to us more about it, because we had great conversation and just hearing everybody's thoughts, come to the next Iconic Hangout, because I'm sure we'll wrap up all of our thoughts here together and everyone can share what they were thinking and feeling about it too.
Yeah.
Okay, let's briefly talk about this drama between Hybe and Minhee Jin, because listen, by the time this episode comes out, it's going to be obsolete anyways. There might be a resolution or something.
Or new information.
Or new info.
There's been like every day there has been mounds of new info or like new controversy, new, like it's kind of overwhelming with how much has come out with it. It's just obviously, okay, just to kind of give a summary of what it is Hybe ended up auditing Minhee Jin and or Minhee Jin. And from there, there's just been a lot of like she's leaked information about trainees, you know, she's just done some shady stuff.
Right.
Which has warranted this audit from Hybe.
Right. And because then, originally her original intent was that she wanted to acquire all of Adore, which is the label that she started under Hybe with, you know, mostly Hybe's capital. She has 18%. Hybe has 80%. And, you know, she wanted to acquire the whole of Adore and all of its groups, which New Jeans is underneath Adore.
Yeah.
So because of this and because apparently Hybe was not letting this happen, that's when she started to like leak trainee data.
That was the thing. She wanted to break away.
Right.
Like she wanted to take Adore and New Jeans.
Right.
Yeah. And acquire it all.
Right.
Yes. And yeah. Okay. So yeah, they're auditing her, whatever.
Because she's doing that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then she ended up doing a press conference in response to these allegations. And truthfully, this press conference was messy. It was very messy.
Yeah.
She cusses a lot. She has like two lawyers there with her.
Who are like cringing the whole time.
Yes. They're like trying to tell her to stop saying things. And then she kind of laughs and continues to talk anyways. We basically don't have like a side in which we're picking here. Like Hybe is no angel by any means.
They're a huge corporation. Yeah. They're a publicly, you know, they're a public company. They're, you know, their priorities are with their shareholders, not necessarily with, you know, their managers or whatever. You know, they're not necessarily going to be on her side over profit side, right?
Right.
And she could also be just like this woman who worked incredibly hard in the industry and made a great name for herself and had great success and has had to face like a lot of adversity being a woman, a lot of sexism, and you know, and she could just be fed the fuck up and like want, you know, her moment, maybe. You know,
it's hard to know the truth.
It really is.
She doesn't really look great either. Like she really looks like she's done a lot of shady stuff.
Yeah.
You know, she really, it doesn't seem like some people think she's kind of predatory. Some people think that she, I know that like with Source and some of those trainees, like she basically said like they were too old for her, you know, which is just crappy. And you know, like it's just, she talked to a shaman and then like addressed it and like didn't deny it.
Yeah, she even said, this is why I talked to the shaman, because I wanted insight about when BTS would go away.
Yes.
And it's like, well, that's
because she didn't want them to interfere with New Jeans.
And it's like, listen, you're comparing two completely different groups from different generations. Yeah. A male group, a female group. Like, it's just like music style is so different. Like,
she also comes off greedy.
Yeah, she's so threatened. And definitely, like, you know, it wasn't her original capital that started New Jeans. It was 18% of her, you know, original buy-in.
Yeah. So, oh, and also one of her big claims is that B-Lift, their new girl group, Illit, ended up copying New Jeans, which, I mean,
that was, that was an initial grievance because she was like, we're under the same label, how can you copy us? But it's like, I don't think they really, their music really sounds the same.
It's the aesthetics, I feel like, is a big one. Is like the girls, like, I think all have longer, natural looking hair.
But
and
this
like,
is also like, this is K-pop. When BTS started popping off, everyone started feeling like, okay, what's the formula? How can we copy? How can we replicate?
But also they say that New Jeans that she copied from some 90s Japanese girl group. You know? Like, I mean, exactly. Like, it's K-pop. There's a lot of overlap.
It's all, you know, hearsay, and like, it's convoluted so much at this point where it's like, no one can be blameless here in this situation. Absolutely, HYBE has done some shit to her to make her get to this point. Absolutely, she has done some shit that is not okay.
And
super shady. And no one is benefiting from this. You know, like, HYBE's stocks are dropping. Her, you know, social capital is completely fucking gone. She's not after this. If HYBE reaches a conclusion with her where she, like, resigns a contract, that's, like, the only way that she's, like, having a continuing career here, you know? And really, who's suffering is the groups. You know, we're all worried about what New Jeans.
I think everyone's on the side of the groups. Yeah. Like, it's nothing to do. Like, you just feel for these idols, you know, especially with New Jeans being so young and so incredibly talented and successful up to this point. Like, even though she has worked a lot on their music and all of that, like, these members have written on the on their songs, you know, like, they are very talented. And of course, we don't want their image to be totally tainted by all of this really ridiculousness that's going on between HYBE and Minhee Jin. But yeah, it's messy. There's new stuff coming out every day. We felt like we had to address it because it really just has been a dumpster fire, like, all of it. I do think, like, New Jeans are going to have a comeback. They're coming back on the same day that RM's album drops, May 24th. Which is also
interesting to us.
There's some, like, controversy around that.
Why? You know? Why would you? You even, like, know, like, you don't drop albums on the same day if you want both albums to do well. So
from the same label.
From the same label. So are they thinking Namjoon's, because they already said in the press release that it's like an alternative style album, are they already thinking his album is so out there that it's not going to do as well as, you know, other BTS members' albums are expected to do?
I feel like RM has had this date set
forever. I think
before he enlisted,
I would totally agree that RM would just have this date set and not move it. He's like, this is my day. And for some reason, New Jeans is planning on coming back on this day too. So, like, are they trying to bury New Jeans' new album, or are they trying to use and let both albums, like, get its moment? Or, you know, like, what's their...
I don't understand it, truthfully.
Yeah, I guess we'll see when it plays out, you know, because they... HYBE has already said New Jeans' promotions are going to continue. They're coming out with this album here. They're doing a Japanese debut in June. They have a full album coming out in November. Like, they laid out their schedule for the year, basically, and was like, they're still doing all of this, so don't worry about it. I did put
something out about saying, like, trying to find ways to protect the members, you know. They haven't said specifically what, but, like, they're gonna do what they can to protect the members at all costs of New Jeans. So yeah, like, I don't see New Jeans, I don't know. I feel like they'll continue to be successful, truthfully, even amidst all of this drama.
I think, if anything, all of this drama and controversy is going to make even more people tune in to their comeback. So, yeah. And, of course, HYBE wants to preserve New Jeans because they make so much money off of New Jeans. So they want to come out of this in good standing, and they want them to look good. So we'll see. And if there's gaps, as I'm sure there's major gaps in our storytelling here, it's because it was too crazy to keep up with.
It's hard to know the truth.
It's hard to know the truth. There's, like, so many rumors circulating, and it's just, like, nasty drama, you know? Yeah. Like, it's, you can't really trust either of these parties that this information is coming from. So
there's ridiculous rumors going around, you know? Like, the sources of these articles say rumored, you know, because it's just...
Because there's no credible source. It's just someone placed a phone call and was like, I think this is what's going on. And they're like, great, print it right now.
We're aware and we're continuing to follow it. But it's hard to really have, like, a strong opinion about really what's going on, because it's just, like, again, like, translations aren't always correct. And, you know, it's so easy to be pulled different directions.
For sure. So we'll try to keep it in the loop. Let us know if you have any thoughts or feelings about it, and you know, we'll keep up with it.
Cover it as it comes.
What we are looking forward to is, of course, RM's album coming out and the promo starting. That
was the band-aid slap.
That's what we need. Don't even worry about what's going on with this drama. Just Namjoon's album. Look away, and you know, right person, wrong place.
And then we heard about right place, wrong person. Right. We're like, never mind. forget that.
Right. Five music videos. What? Yeah. So of course we will be talking about that information as soon as it's dropping. Concept photos, teasers, promos, releases, etc. I could scream forever about this, but I won't do that in your ear. But you know, I'm so fucking excited. I feel like this album's gonna be made incredibly. So
yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening so much. We hope you enjoyed our thoughts on the Hope on the Street docuseries and these final two songs, What If and Neuron. Special thanks to our supporters on Patreon, especially the VIPs, Eileen, Michelle, Holly, Meg, Rachel, Robin, and Deja. Thank you guys so, so much for all of your love and support. Hope to see y'all at the next Iconic Hangout. Let us know what you're thinking and feeling on Instagram, whatever, and you can find links for all of the things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for stanning BTS.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.